L-E-T-E-N-E-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show with Malcolm Holnein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We're very pleased to welcome our colleague, Blaise Mizztal, Vice President for Policy at JINSA. Most importantly, he's been our guide for many years on Asia Minor, all of this complex. But right now, the conversations include in Washington. Malcolm?
Yeah, so we wanted to first look at the aftermath of the Iran-Natanz incident and how does this cast a shadow in any way over the current talks, especially with the allegation that Israel was behind it. And what is the long-term message that has emerged from it in terms not only in Washington but also in Vienna?
Well, it's a pleasure to be with both of you, John and Malcolm, again. Thanks for having me on. I think what we saw happen at Natanz is really important because it demonstrates yet again the complete inability of the Iranian security services to protect their most important infrastructure and personnel, as we've seen in the last year in particular, but over the last decade, at how vulnerable many of these facilities and many of their top scientists remain. It's also notable because it really does, at a time when the Biden administration is using the ticking clock of Iran's nuclear program as a reason for rushing into reentry of the JCPOA, the explosion at Natanz buys time. So Natanz is Iran's main enrichment site. There's actually three different parts of the facility, but the main one houses some 5,000 centrifuges. And based on what we know, all of those centrifuges were disrupted and most likely irreplaceably damaged in the explosion that happened there, meaning that Iran lost some 60% of its enrichment capability in the blink of an eye. And that's going to slow down its nuclear program by about 2 months, or its ability to rush to a nuclear bomb by about 2 months, I should say.
No, and I was wondering whether you could address the U.S.-Israel working groups now that are meeting in Washington and the positive messaging that's coming out. Do you see real room for agreement and cooperation, whether it's on the drone and missile files that are given its impact both on U.S. and Israel and our allies in the region? Do you see other areas of cooperation that are likely to emerge from these working groups?
Look, certainly both the fact that these meetings are happening and they're happening before there's a deal and some of the substance that we're hearing come out of them is a positive sign. One of the major drawbacks of the JCPOA was that it was not vetted at all with Israel or other regional U.S. partners, being the countries that most directly have to live with the Iranian threat. And so that the Biden administration is willing to speak with the Israelis, hopefully also speak with other regional countries, is an improvement over the JCPOA process. The question is, are they only speaking to them in order to check a box, or are they actually taking their concerns into consideration and having them affect U.S. policy? When it comes to the Biden administration's desire to get back into JCPOA, we haven't seen that change yet, but certainly progress on trying to think about how do we defend against Iran's growing precision-guided missile threats, the proliferation of those missiles, which are now placed not just in Iran, but they're in Syria, they're in Lebanon, they're in Iraq, they're in Yemen. They could be on ships in the Gulf, Mediterranean. That is a huge threat not just to Israel, but to the United States, to other regional countries, and it could be the basis of really taking the Abraham Accords that the Trump administration negotiated and turning them into a concrete regional security architecture where we see the U.S. bring together Israel, the Emiratis, the Saudis, and build a network of missile defenses and actions to disrupt Iran's missile program that really benefits the whole region.
But do you think that the separation of these, just a follow-up, if I may, that the separation, are you saying, is it beneficial, do you think? Does it give added leverage or clarity to the subjects if you separate the nuclear as they are and having separate working groups?
Look, it certainly gives leverage and sends the right optics to show that the United States is listening to its regional allies, is concerned about Iranian threats and working to counter them. The danger is that the United States is trying to do a trade here, and the Biden administration is saying, we'll work with you, the Israelis, to counter the Iranian missile threat while we're over here in Vienna negotiating the JCPOA that you so vehemently oppose as an existential threat. So the ability to separate here could come back to be a problem, but at least it is an improvement over where we were in 2015 with the Obama administration.
Blaise, there are anecdotes that the Saudis, the kingdom, is looking to hold talks or in some fashion approach that wonderful French word rapprochement with Tehran. Do you account for those? Are they meant to be parallel or in conjunction with the renegotiation or reawakening of the Iran deal?
It's certainly true that they seem to have already happened. There's reports that when the U.S. was meeting with Iran in Vienna, the Saudis met with the Iranians in Baghdad. And I think that is, not just a coincidence, but it goes beyond the JCPOA. We are now in the third U.S. administration that has, as one of its major foreign policy goals, leaving the Middle East. And you have other countries entering into the region at the same time, like China, which just signed a $400 billion cooperation deal with Iran. And so countries in the region are left scratching their heads and wondering whether the United States is going to keep protecting them or whether they need to make new friends and new partnerships. And clearly the Saudis are reading the writing on the wall and thinking and preparing at least for the possibility that Biden will enter the JCPOA and leave the Middle East and that the arbiters of what happens in the region are going to be in Tehran and Beijing.
Can we switch a little bit to Turkey? And we've seen the announcement this week by recognizing Armenian genocide by the president, something other presidents have been reluctant to do. What do you think that the longer-term implications and why he chose to do it now?
Well, I think President Biden's recognition of the Armenian genocide has less to do with Turkey policy per se and more to do with a major feature of his foreign policy overall that distinguishes him from the last two administrations, which is the return of human rights and democracy and values to American foreign policy. And I think President Biden did it because he believed it the right thing to do. And you could say particularly at a time when the U.S. is concerned about the genocide the Chinese are committing in Xinjiang. And not because he was trying to get leverage or punish Turkey and Erdogan in some sense. But that being said, the fact that President Biden did this also sends a very clear message to Turkey and a message it should have heard a long time ago, which is Turkey is just not that important to the United States anymore. It has other partners in the region that are better and more faithful. And it can do much of what it wants to do in the Middle East and in Europe and in the Caucasus without relying on Turkey. It doesn't need to worry about alienating the Turks. And that is a powerful message to send that could hopefully change a relationship in which the Turks think they can get away with so much because they are too big to fail.
We have a minute, Malcolm, if you have a quick question.
Yeah, let me just – do you think that Turkey will change its positions on Libya, these Med claims, anything in order to better their position? They've been making certain soundings and at the same time continuing to act irresponsibly.
Less than a minute, please.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think Erdogan is trying to secure some concessions, particularly from the Europeans, to stave off sanctions. But I think fundamentally both he – and his supporters in the Turkish state and military want to see more assertive Turkish claims, a more aggressive stance, and cannot stomach coming to terms with Europeans or the Americans.
Blaise Mistel is of the Jewish Institute for National Security of America, Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.